Our reading this morning comes from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and also verses 12 through 19. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigenioth. Lord, I have heard the report about you. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Revive your work in these years. Make it known in these years. In your wrath, remember my mercy. And then verses 12 through 19. You march across the earth with indignation. You trample down the nations in wrath. You come out to save your people, to save your anointed. You crush the leader of the house of the wicked and strip him from foot to neck. You pierce his head with his own spears. His warriors storm out to scatter us, gloating as if ready to secretly devour the weak. You tread the sea with your horses, stirring up the great waters. I heard and I trembled within. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness entered my bones. I trembled where I stood. Now I must quietly wait for the day of distress to come against the people invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer and enables me to walk on mountain heights. For the choir director on a stringed instrument.
Thanks, Chris. Sometimes we have difficulty defining faith and when and how it grows. In fact, sometimes we have difficulty even keeping faith, especially when circumstances seem to be less than desirable. We have trouble determining when faith begins in us and how it grows or wanes at different points in time. We see people holding up their hands and swaying to the beat and wonder if their faith is greater than ours. We view persons in the middle of tragic circumstances and they speak of God's grace to them even in the middle of tragedies. And we wonder, how in the world can they speak in such a way when circumstances are bad? We see persons who face tragedy with triumph and rejoice, knowing that somewhere they will find God's grace. And we see others who face tragedies or difficult circumstances with the Calvinistic, well, it's God's will, nothing we can do about it, and wonder if that is strong faith or a defeatist position used as a means of getting through the difficult circumstances. Over much of my 57 years of life, and through just talking with Sunday school class this morning, I have, come February, have been in vocational ministry of various types for 34 years. And if you go back to when I ceased being a biology major and became a religion major and decided that was when I was called to ministry, that goes back even a few more years. I have seen all kinds of situations and have watched the aforementioned responses to all types of circumstances many times over. And I've seen that many people's faith seems to hinge or change based on the particular circumstance at that moment. I have viewed those who have found difficulties in life and their faith is strengthened. And I have seen others who have found difficulties come in life, and they fade into the woodwork, and you never see them or hear from them again. I've seen people praise God even in spite of the difficulties, and I've heard them declare there is no God because of similar circumstances. It seems that faith, for many, can change very quickly. Hence the meditation for today and the overriding question that comes to us all, I hope. And if it doesn't come to you, it certainly comes to me. Do you have a circumstantial faith? Or does your faith go beyond the circumstance? However you pronounce it, Habakkuk or Habakkuk, depends pretty much on where you were raised in a lot of instances. And Judah were in the middle of a major tragedy. By the way, if you had trouble finding it a while ago, it's after Nahum. This particular prophet ministered during a time of domination by both Egypt to the south and the Assyrian Empire to the north, both of which were known for brutality because of their persecution. And because of the difficult circumstances in which they found themselves, the people of Judah believed that they were experiencing injustice. And not just injustice from Egypt and Assyria. They were actually questioning the justice of God. Have you ever questioned God? I have. And they were as well. They were experiencing, they thought, this injustice from God. God is supposed to be just and fair, and we're God's chosen people. Therefore, we should gain all the good things. We should gain all the fairness. Why is this happening? And in fact, many of them had even begun to turn away from God because of what they saw as God's injustice in these difficult circumstances. Now, they had been told throughout all of their history about the many ways that God had rescued them from exile. And not just in the Exodus, but many times over. And how God had brought them back sometimes from not just physical exile in another country, but the exile that they experienced when they separated themselves from God. And yet here, with all of that in the past, and with what they had experienced in their own lives before this time, many of them begin, because of the circumstances, to turn away from God. Even the prophet questioned God's presence in the middle of this domination. God was seen as being unfair to His people. And I know that y'all never experience any of those feelings. But some people today do, depending on circumstance. Habakkuk and the people of Judah did. And yet God responds to his questions and to the questions of the people as they wonder, "Why, O God?" As some of them even turn their backs. In chapters 1 and 2 of the book, God dialogues with the prophet and reminds him that there is a plan behind God's justice. And that what God does not necessarily agree with what Habakkuk would want to happen. And doesn't necessarily agree with what human ideas of fairness are about. But God also promises consolation. And God promises protection even in the difficult circumstances and the difficult day. There are shortages of jobs. There are shortages of food. Money doesn't go as far as it once did. People feel like their rights are being trampled upon. And all of this is back in the prophet's day. And for those who oftentimes say, "Oh, Old Testament is just old, dead stuff. It doesn't have any relevance for today," I hope you have just seen some of the relevance about jobs and food and insecurities. On top of that, people were dying. Some from natural causes, some from accidents, and some who were being killed by others. Violence was rampant in the area. And the people wondered, with all of these circumstances and finding themselves, God's chosen people, as they referred to themselves, in the middle of all of this and experiencing this, they began to wonder and question God and question their faith, whether it was misplaced or not. But God promised consolation, and God promised protection. Protection for those who remained faithful, who found themselves as part of those who persevere. Now, this was not a blind, passive faith that we're talking about here. It wasn't blind faith. It wasn't passive. "Okay, God, I believe you can do these things for me, so I'll sit here and fold my arms and wait." But it was one that has room for the questions, and through the questions, for growth. Susan Allen recently sent me a quote, an email, from Unspoken Sermons by George MacDonald. And the particular quote comes from a sermon entitled "The Higher Faith." Questions imply answers. If He has put the questions in my heart, then He must hold the answers in His. I will seek them from Him. I will wait, but not until I have knocked. I will be patient, but not until I have asked. I will seek until I find. Seeking, knocking, asking. Faith that is not daunted by circumstance is a faith that is open to questions, to seeking, to finding, because that faith is open to growing. It is not passive. Passivity is not a part of being alive and growing. And so the people ask their questions. The prophet asked the questions, and even the prophet wondered if God was unfair. But as we've said before, if God is truly God, God can handle the questions. God can handle the questions. As the prophet kept asking, he found answers from God. Answers that enabled him to finally have the patience to wait for God. To wait for God. Even when circumstances are difficult and patience was running low. Answers that allowed him to say at the end of chapter 2, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." Even with the difficult circumstances, Habakkuk had a faith which brought him to compose a song. compose a song which showed faith in God. A prayer, if you would. Praise to God for His aid in all circumstances, and trust in God regardless of the circumstances the world might throw at you. We also find in this prayer in chapter 3 this song of praise. We also find this idea that faithfulness and faith are not to be contingent upon any circumstance if they are true faith and faithfulness. The prayer was a song. Shigionoth has various translations to it. One is the leader with stringed instrument, to whom at the end there is also mentioned, of whom at the end is also mentioned. Or Shigionoth was also the musical director, the director of the choir. Or Shigionoth was also used as speaking of the cantor who would lead in the service. It was a prayer and a song of celebration. The prophet restates his unfailing faith in God in verse 2, remembering God's promise that those who are faithful will find mercy. Those who are faithful will find their spirits, not just their physical bodies, though in this case there is a promise that those who are faithful will be delivered from the exile, but will find their spirits restored even through the difficult circumstances. He remembers God's promises, and he tells them that you are not to allow faith to wane, but rather you are to allow faith to grow, to be open to God's leading, even when things do not seem to be going well. For in that, the faithful will find mercy. The prophet shows that he expects God to be God, as through much of this particular song, he recalls what God has done in Israel's past, and how God has taken over their enemies and continue to lead them even when things did not go well. He also reminds them that sometimes punishment comes because of the ways they misuse the land, misuse their relationship with God, misuse their relationship with others. And yet, in all of that, when he asks God to remember the people with mercy, even in the midst of his wrath, he is calling the people to remember that God's wrath and God's punishment is never vindictive. And this is something that runs throughout the whole Bible, even the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. If you go back and look, God's wrath, God's punishment upon his people is never to get even. It is always redemptive in nature. The difficult circumstances sometimes are there to help us remember who God is, who we are, and to put us in a position where we are redeemable. God can redeem us, but it's much easier when we come to the point that we recognize we need to be redeemed, and we open ourselves to that redemption rather than holding back. He wants to see God's judgment as discriminatory, that is, for those who are faithful. And he finds the assurance of God's presence in the past and looks for it in the present as well as the future. As a means of reminding himself, and remembering this assurance of God's faithfulness, the prophet begins speaking of those actions. And he ends up affirming his faith in God, even in crisis. For you see, God is above all of history, but God is also present within all of history. In verses 12 to 15, the prophet, which were read a while ago, the prophet continues to tell of God's power over all creation, not just certain parts of it, and of God's ability to come and be present in all the world, saving and preserving the faithful. Because of God's faithfulness in the circumstances, the prophet proclaims God's ultimate deliverance and how he anticipates God in worship. There is, in verse 16, this idea of anticipation and expectation of God's presence in worship. And he shows patience in waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. As we remember God's acts within our own lives, our faith should grow, regardless of the circumstance. In fact, perhaps when the circumstances seem to be the most difficult or the most threatening, that is the time when our faith should be open to the most growth. Habakkuk's faith held and was not deterred or overcome in spite of what he was facing. We, like the prophet, see situations around the world, even in our own community, in our own church, in our own families, maybe even within our own warring heart, that seem to be different from what God desires. Sometimes we create the circumstances that bring those difficulties. Yet, if faith continues to grow, if faith continues to not be afraid of the questions, if faith continues regardless of the circumstances, we find the assurance of God's presence and of God's mercy. Hope is not to be found merely in the course of events, circumstances. It is found in God's Spirit that is within us, God's Spirit that is around us, God's Spirit that is within the person next to us. A Spirit that saves us and helps us and gives us victory over the circumstance. As one commentator writes, in the very midst of his destitution, he finds reason to exult and rejoice. Living by his faithfulness, he finds life's supreme good that lifts him to higher places above all the material calamity. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. When circumstances are difficult, when situations arise that cause us pause and perhaps hurt us or hurt family members or friends or communities, when things happen within our lives that we cannot understand or explain, it's hard for faith to grow if all we do is look for a quick answer, an easy fix, a nice platitude. It is through the questions, the knocking, the asking, and the openness of our hearts and our spirits and our minds that we can find the possibilities of hope beyond the circumstance, and that we can find a certainty that the one who triumphed at the beginning over the chaos in creation is eternally triumphant And that same one wants to lead us through the circumstances to deep faith as a part of the model prayer. Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts like we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into trial or temptation, but deliver us from evil." That prayer is not a prayer asking God to keep us from difficult circumstances or even trials in life. But rather, it is a request that when those times come, God will help to strengthen our faith so that the circumstances do not overcome it, and so that God will show us a way to be delivered through the circumstance and away from the evils that await even circumstantial faith. Is our faith beyond the circumstance? May we pray. O Lord our God, our lives are filled with so many different things, so many situations. Sometimes the circumstances seem to be overwhelming. We believe. Help our unbelief. And lead us with faith through the circumstance by your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 527. I know whom I have believed. That's really the message that the prophet was giving. He knew and continued to know the one not only in whom he believed, but the one that he believed. And he overcame the circumstance. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that would be a first-time profession publicly of Jesus as Lord and Savior, to become a part of this fellowship, or to recommit yourself to overcoming the circumstances because of faith. Number 527.